Hi there, comrades, and welcome to this special episode of Comicast, the podcast of the Communist Party. My name's Johnny Hunter. I'm a member of the Communist Party's Executive Committee, and today I'm joined by comrade Nathan Hennebray. How you get on tonight, Nathan?
Very good, comrade. Cheers for having us on.
Good stuff, glad to hear it. And as some people may have twigged, the reason that I'm joined by Nathan tonight is because Nathan will, in fact, be contesting the Clydebank Central Ward seat for Western Bartonshire Council on the Communist Party's ticket on the 13th of June of this year, 2024. And it goes without saying, we're very lucky to have him on the show, so close to our relaunch. So, first things first, Nathan, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Nathan Hennebray. I am the environmental officer sitting on the CC for the Young Communist League of Britain and a member of the Scottish Committee for the Communist Party of Britain. I've grew up in Western Bartonshire all my life, worked a number of jobs in Clydebank, remain politically and trade union-wise active within Clydebank as well, as a member of the Clydebank Trades Council, a proud delegate for my union, the GMB, for which I am a shop steward, as well as a secretary, for my branch. So, as listeners can tell, I definitely like to keep myself busy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's a fine pedigree, if ever there was one. I think you've got more hats in your head in terms of movement jobs than I do. So, big salute to you in that front. How long then have you been a member? How long have you been active with the Communist Party in the YCL?
Yeah, I joined the YCL and the party roughly about the same time. I want to say close to over 3 years. Sort of joined prior to the likes of to COP26. Found my way just getting active straight away. It was, a real eye-opener as to, what politics should be. It shouldn't just be, this ever-long preaching on soapboxes, but instead the organizing within communities, workplaces, and wherever the working masses congregate. I think that was a real message I took away from it. And getting so involved so early kind of led me to develop myself. I was, delighted to be recognised by my branch in that, quickly becoming the secretary for the Glasgow branch for 2 years. And of course, having fun times at COP26, an unforgettable memory to be made there. And ever since then, I've just been right active in with the party. It's probably been one of the most kind of life-changing aspects that's ever happened within my life, and definitely all for the better.
Absolutely, absolutely, and an inspiring story that I've been able to follow closely, having been a member of your branch and called you secretary, proud to have called you secretary, for a long time. So, absolutely. Just building on that pedigree, as we said, what first attracted you to socialism and communism? Would you say because I think certainly. And it's one of the very encouraging things I think about working and struggling in our time. There's more and more young people coming towards communism. There's more and more young people calling themselves communists. Be fair to say that it's still relatively rare in certain parts of the country just now. What first attracted you to communism?
Well, I'll see if my giving away my football allegiances first will garner me more or less votes. But growing up, kind of as a Celtic fan, being exposed to the kind of culture and atmosphere there, surrounding the likes and the legacy of James Connolly was probably my first kind of introduction to early foundations of what socialism was. And from there, kind of get independently starting to read, which I definitely found difficult. At first, you go down the communist pipeline, and it's like Alice in Wonderland. You start falling through, and a million resources pop up. You're not too sure where to look, but I think that's kind of where it first started. I came. I wouldn't say I was a socialist or a red diaper baby, as the stereotype goes. Right from birth, I probably went down the path of you know, being a bit of a nationalist. I was in a member of the SNP before I joined the party in the league. I felt myself growing quite distant from the narrow-mindedness that was festering in amongst the SNP, and certainly the kind of Indian nationalist circles within Scottish politics, quite narrowed down and quite tied itself into this idea of Scottish exceptionalism and, you know, a European foundation. And then can I started looking at the league and the party just on social media, seeing, you know, comrades, young people like myself at that age being active in their communities. And it was a different side to politics. It wasn't the kind of careerism you see today with kind of young folk who see getting involved in politics as a way to be becoming the next leader in Holyrood or the next, you know, documented parliamentarian. It was young people across all kind of walks of life, from apprentices to warehousemen to folk who worked in work sites as brickies and everything else in between. It was a vast diaspora of workers, first and foremost. And more than that, they were educated. They weren't just regurgitating whatever was coming out the National, whatever the Times were pushing out. It was independently driven thought based on conditions that were happening there in Scotland that were broken away. And I think that's, you know, always stuck with me continuously for our political analysis as a party, as a league, especially when it comes to what we'll come on to discuss later in terms of council cuts and, you know, what makes our position alongside, or well, in contrast to other parties, so different. So it was definitely that organised aspect, young workers standing, being able to organise. It was something I never saw before, and I realised that soon reading the kind of manifesto of the party and the league, what you stood for, the clear goals and how to accomplish it, how to lay a foundation. It was clear that by only reading the literature provided freely on the websites of both party and league, was after doing that, I was like, yep, this is definitely something that I want to follow up on and definitely get involved and be active. And yeah, definitely not regretted it since.
Thanks, comrade. I'll forgive you the reference to football. You know, I was going to leave it out, but you kept it fairly professional. But in all seriousness, so that was a really comprehensive and I think a good advertisement, if I dare say so, for what the Communist Party and the Young Communist League are all about, a really excellent summary, I think, of why young people can and should get involved in the work that we do and be the next generation to carry us forward. Makes me also think I need to work on my own backstory a bit, but you know, when you get to my advanced years, having aged at the YCL for some 6 months, you know, it's lost to the mist of time. But thank you for that, comrade. Turning now, I think, to the election itself in the local area. How long have you lived in Clydebank, Western Bartonshire area?
Yeah, I've grown up in Western Bartonshire all my days. I'm living in Dumbarton, as I always have. Worked regularly in Clydebank. My second or third job was the old Clydebank Asda. What a grueling experience. I'm glad I got out of the retail game when I did. But I worked in Clydebank Asda for a number of years. And then as well as that, you know, I was at the time, I was also a football coach. Thoroughly enjoyed that, albeit, you know, working all kind of mad hours of shifts in Asda. Probably a quick hour's power nap home, straight back out the door into Clydebank to coach again. But definitely a rewarding experience. And, you know, I think many of the folk who I've met throughout different jobs working there, it's always been the same kind of plight, the same story. Whether that's in Clydebank or Dumbarton, whether it's in Asda or out in the community or council-run leisure services, it's the same plight that so many folk are feeling. I think that no matter if folk are living in Clydebank, Dumbarton, the Vale, Balloch, everybody shares that same plight. that we're facing at the moment. It's been branded to us as the cost of living crisis, or as we know it better to be, the cost of capitalism. And as usual, it's workers paying the price for it. You know, living in Western Bartonshire, it wasn't till I joined the League and the Party that I really understood the history and the militant working class history that Western Bartonshire has. It's absolutely mental, for lack of a better word. The Red Clydeside, the UCS working, these are achievements that are, well, I'd go as far to say, purposely left out the textbooks at many schools, as it highlights, you know, the fact that workers from these were often just branded off as outskirted communities from Glasgow, what these workers were capable of, and, you know, learning that history of, you know, where I've grown up, where I've worked, and where I'm active in the community, you know, that's what's kind of driven me to stand for this upcoming by-election as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an area, as you say, Nathan, with a really proud and a really long history in terms of industrialism and in terms of working class struggle. And, you know, an area with a really proud history in terms of our party and the communist movement in Britain, you know, areas and workplaces that produced a lot of great militants and great leaders. And, you know, I think it's fair to say you're carrying on that tradition through your work today. So I think maybe I suspect we've touched on it there, but if you had to say your favourite thing about the area, what would that be?
If I was being really shameless and looking to truly secure the Claybank vote, I'd say the butter salted popcorn at the local cinema, a very unique characteristic to Claybank, but I'll no take an easy point there. Aye, it has to be the people. I know that's kind of an easy thing to say, but the experience I've had for, you know, workmates and others in the community, it's a real sense of utter friendliness and the fact that people go out their way to help one another. That's a defining characteristic, especially in Clydebank, not just in Western Bartonshire, but especially in Clydebank. Solidarity is felt there, definitely. And it's only something that can be built up. Even back to a fraction of the levels we saw at the UCS would be, you know, vital for the community, especially in these current times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such an important point. You know, we're constantly told, communism doesn't work because humans are naturally selfish. But anybody who's grown up or lived or worked in a working class community knows that what underlines and what makes these communities possible to keep going, even in difficult times like we're experiencing just now, is those acts of kindness, it is working class solidarity, and that is what's core to us being human, I would say. And I'd mentioned the tough times that we're experiencing just now in terms of the ruling class media and the state media, called the cost of living crisis, but which we as communists have labelled the cost of profits crisis. And you can certainly see that in terms of the massive, massive profits being registered by the energy monopolies, by big supermarket chains, basically by all big business, by all the monopolies across the British economy at a time when working people are being forced into poverty. Those are the tough times, that cost of profits crisis. What do you think the biggest challenge facing working people in Clydebank and across Western Bartonshire today is?
Yeah, broadly, and I guess this would be applicable for everybody in Scotland, the biggest challenge is, of course, capitalism. The issues that are affecting us in our workplace, the very exploitation, is also taken back into our communities. Refining that down into a local level in Clydebank, it's the ravaging council cuts. And again, that's a continuous theme across Scotland. We're seeing various council cuts. We're told there's no magic money tree and thus cuts have to be made. And it's cuts being made to vital services. You know, folk think of their councils and they tend to just think woolly bins and cutting the grass. Although those are sometimes some of the more easier campaigns to organise around locally. There's much more to it than that, especially the likes of care. Care services are being ravaged at the moment. I've already seen and kept up to date with my sister comrades and the GMB as they demonstrate across Western Bartonshire. You know, these cuts to care is absolutely frightening, not just to what it means for workers actually operating within the sector, but what it means to our most vulnerable who are reliant on this care as well. We're seeing, you know, leisure centres underfunded. It's just a cause for working people once again. We're in the same position as we continue to be in under capitalism. We're fighting for resources. We're fighting for the most basic of things. You know, it's depressing, the fact that, you know, we're having to fight over things like football pitches, you know, care for our most vulnerable, adult learning services. You know, it's utterly shameful, and this is what's really affecting people. And we get the councils again telling us there's no magic money tree, yet in the same breath we're seeing the Scottish Government continue to funnel money, billions of pounds in so-called military aid, to thousands of miles away, across lands, to fund war and essentially line the pockets of arms manufacturers. But we know for a fact that this is a choice. These cuts are a choice. It's a conscious choice being made by local government and, as a broader sense, the Scottish Government as well. And it's cuts that we're not going to tolerate.
Yeah, absolutely, comrade. And I think, you know, as you said, it's certainly the experience of working people and working class communities across Scotland, you know, all these essential public services, all these things that are so crucial to having a dignified life, especially for the most vulnerable in our society, just being ruthlessly cut away, except that they can be privatised and used to make a profit for big business. And I also think, as you've done there, so important to draw that relation to the fact that at the same time as our communities are being impoverished at home, we're exporting billions just to kill people on the other side of the world, but also and most fundamentally for the government here to line the pockets of the arms manufacturers who are profiting off all this death and misery. So you've told us a lot about your community, Nathan, your experience there and your time as a communist. What made you ultimately choose and this year to stand as a party candidate in the central ward?
Probably the simplest message that was, you know, put to me was the one that inspired me the most, and it's, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? You know, I think being a party member, being a league member, we're the vanguard of our class. We have to act and aspire to be that, and that's not done through an armchair. It's not done in private meetings, and it's not done online and spouting bile or whatever rhetoric is to be put online to people you don't know, or to a random algorithm that's focused in every region but your own region. It's about leading from the front. That's the core principle that's kind of driven me to stand, because it's been what I've done. I practice what I preach. Like I said, I'm a shop steward. I'm the vice convener and secretary for my workplace as a GMB rep. I'm the chair for GMB Scotland's Young Workers Network. I represent my workers as a delegate to the local trades council in Clydebank. And most importantly, I'm an active communist in the community and in across Scotland, whether that's political demonstrations, food bank collections, you name it, where there's workers mobilising, there's communist organising as well. And, you know, that's the lesson that I'm driving into Clydebank as well, because we need it. Obviously, we talked there briefly on the historic aspect, the UCS. It's not an uncommon trend. We've done it before, back in the Communist Party of Great Britain. We had shop stewards such as Jimmy Reid leading the forefront for workers and the Upper Clyde shipbuilders. It was that same activity, that same forward-facing attitude, and that these members practiced what they preached. And because they done that, because they garnered the support of workers, they were able to launch one of the most pivotal and historically influential industrial actions that Scotland's ever seen. And I think the only thing we've seen recently in historical memory to that was the halting of production on Pinochet's fighter jet engines and Rolls-Royce as well, you know. So practicing what I preach has been the core drive and the fact that it needs to be polarised within Clydebank as well. In a time when there's so many cuts, in a time where the establishment parties continue to be in disarray, we were already dealing with SNP incompetency, we've suffered decades of Tory austerity, and now we're being peddled up Schitt's Creek by Labour's false promises, many of which they've already dropped as a result of garnering support from voters already to put them in a position of false leadership. So that's what's driven me to stand in the by-election here in Clydebank as well.
Thanks, comrade, and an important time to point out that we have absolutely no rule against some mild cursing on Comicast, so references to Schitt's Creek are absolutely allowed. But no, on a more serious note, comrade, I think that's a really inspiring summation of what drives forward this new generation of young communists in the west of Scotland. You know, the past we inherit, and it's an extremely proud past, but it's the future that we're wanting to build, and we're wanting to carry on and make new traditions and carry on that work. And you know, that's certainly what you're doing in standing in the central ward, and I'm sure that all your comrades there on the ground in Western Bartonshire are getting right behind you in that effort. What then, in terms of Western Bartonshire, what would be your three most important policies for the local area?
Yeah, as I mentioned, first and foremost, it's tackling the cuts. It's no cuts in public spending. As I said, this is very much in contrast as to what many of the establishment parties are saying. They're saying manage the cuts, organise the cuts, reform the cuts. But we're saying no cuts because we recognise that the cuts are a conscious choice. And this isn't just some manifesto pledge that's been picked out the sky. It's actually part of a zero cuts budget, which is per the STUC policy as decided at the 2024 Congress just there, to which I was a delegate as well for Clydebank Trades Council. We have to tackle cuts. It's the number one threat to our community. Communities that are already so severely underfunded means that our most vulnerable are always the first to go. And I, alongside trade unionists and other community activists, are no prepared to let our most vulnerable be let down. As well as that, probably our second would have to be, fighting for homes, because it's very, very basic. Everybody deserves a safe and affordable place to call home. We're already in the midst of a housing crisis, not just with private landlords who continue to exploit tenants, milking them dry for money in the most basic or run-down forms of accommodation. But we're also being exploited by social landlords as well. We see the likes of Wheatley Group are the spearhead of this. You know, we only need to look so far from Clydebank, look eastwards to our brothers and sisters in the Wynford, who've already been fighting a battle against the likes of Wheatley, who've proposed demolishing 600 socially rented homes and replacing them with half the homes at double the price, gentrifying neighbourhoods and essentially eliminating working class people from the areas. You know, we have to have more social homes. We have to have more council housing that is fit for purpose. A steady supply of affordable housing that's up to standard. And the housing that we do have, we have to take the options that were proposed by the likes of tenants and architectural experts who put the calls out in the Wynford for retrofitting. That is the ultimate solution to improve homes. Don't demolish them down. Don't replace them with half of it and then say you've adhered to your targets and goals by building X amount of homes. We know that's nonsense. The people of Clydebank aren't going to stand for it. Others in Scotland who are already getting active within different tenants' unions, whether it's Live and Rent or the Scottish Tenants' Union, are already seeing through this and organising around it, you know. And it's groups like these that I pledge to campaign with and fight, you know, exploitation of homes, whether it's private landlords or social landlords as well. And probably thirdly, definitely transport. That's probably been an ongoing battle for some years now. And it's becoming a farce. It's became a farce to the fact that we had one of the leads of First Bus proposing that hospitality workers be trained to drive buses for late night services. It kind of shows the state of affairs that private business runs our services deep into the ground. These monopolies are the ones dictating every aspect of our public transport, from trains, buses, ferries, everything else in between. And what we have to do, and what I pledge to do, is again standing with groups and fighting for a publicly owned bus company which prioritises people over profit. Our services have to run, and if they're only running on the lines of money, then they're not running for people as well. And I won't just end on buses. We have to make public transport across Scotland as well, from our trains to our ferries to every single aspect. We have to make them accessible, affordable, and most importantly, sustainable as well. Because if we continue to let our public services, our transport, or anything else that, you know, workers rely on, into the hands of private profiteers, then it becomes their game. They extort us, they exploit us, they exploit the workers having to run those services as well, all for the sake of profit. So be working with groups like Get Glasgow Moving and others as well to see what, you know, the people of Clydebank can campaign around, can join me in standing for and calling for and putting policy forward for our public transport back in our hands, because we desperately need it.
Thanks, Nathan, and you know, I think they seem like you know, really developed and well thought out policies probably not just relevant to Clydebank, but to certainly the whole of the west of Scotland and probably the country as a whole, and Britain as a whole. You know, there's working class communities across this country crying out for change and for interventions in public life, just to that very nature. And on that note, I'd imagine you've been keeping something of an eye on the policies and in the statements of the other parties contesting the election there in the central ward. How would you rate the other candidates and the other parties?
Like already mentioned, you know, the workers of Clydebank are already starting to, you know, see through the lies, the deception that many of the establishment parties have rode off of in coming years. We've got a Labour candidate who toes the line of Keir Starmer, who we've already seen drop pledges and support after his campaign to be Labour leader, and already drop pledges in his position as such. These are Labour false promises. We're seeing a Labour Party that's ever so slowly shifting to the right. I think it was David Lammy who was on media recently saying he was a small C conservative. It's utterly baffling when you think of the pre-Marxist vehicle that Labour was as being a tool, a vehicle for the working class, to see it now run down, deformed and mutilated into just an ever-changing bed of, you know, right-wing allegiances, not to mention with many of the Conservatives now jumping across the benches at Parliament to take their side. You know, this is a common phrase that's often espouted by many folk in Clydebank, folk in Scotland in general. You know, they don't want to vote for red Tories. And that stereotype is becoming true now, as we can see, and the policies that Starmer is putting forward, they're either not going to work for working people, or their promises and policies that are going to be dropped in the near future as soon as the winds change in his direction. Our SNP candidate as well, folk are sick and tired of the continuous proposal of cuts, these conscious cuts that have been led forward by the SNP-run Scottish Government. And people are beginning to smell, you know, the winds of change and incompetency. Again, it's seen within the SNP party in itself, continuous burling change One in, one out. It's a revolving door. I feel like I need to go down to the bookies and stick a bet on for who's going to be at next week, because you never know when there's going to be change. And it's another shifting parallel with the SNP government. We've already got them shouting for a free and independent Scotland, but yet their crying call for that is for Scotland to then be immediately shackled to the EU capitalist class, and for the workers, young workers of Scotland, to be sold off into an alliance with NATO, a first strike nuclear alliance, and we're going to be sold off as pawns to fill capability gaps between Norway. This is the kind of warmongering future we've got, and amongst the SNP, not just within their local policies and dealing with council cuts or the funding of our leisure centres. If they have done any of that in recent years, it would be hard to tell. But internationally as well, as the kind of future they're going to give workers as well. I believe we have a Liberal Democrat candidate as well. I, alongside many other workers in Scotland, wouldn't be able to tell you what the Lib Dems have offered MD in recent years. Again, the brunt of a joke has been a backfiller party that historically has had some influence years ago, but now it continues to dry and stick to the walls, picking on policies depending on popularity, whether that they come from the SNP, Labour, or if it seems economically viable enough, then they'll jump ever so lightly onto the back saddle of the Tory government as well. We have an independent candidate who seemingly is a member of the Family Party as well. Again, a party that offers no hope, no coherence, no analysis, nothing to the workers of Scotland. So it's something I can easily to pass by, and I'm sure many other workers in Scotland will pass the Family Party by as well, and confine them to the dustbin of history. And then we have a candidate from, I believe it's Sovereignty, a fringish nationalist party, again, that peddles itself as politically professional, but is yet to, I guess, break itself out into the mainstream of relevance to both the workers of Scotland and even specifically Claybank as to what they're actually capable of offering workers. But what I know for certain is our Communist Party candidate, myself, I'm ready to stand on a basis, on a foundation of deep analysis that's not done independently through political dogma. I'm not dogmatic in the slightest. The analysis that the party, the League, you know, what we come to, what I come to within our local community is based on the cooperation, the solidarity, and the working alongside fellow trade unionist folk who are active in their community, folk who are at the front lines of where these cuts are being made, speaking directly with community leaders and other trusted councillors as well. I'm not here to give false promises. I'm not here to say to workers that this is the be all. I've got the be all and end all solution. I'm here to stand with workers and say we're going to do this together. This is our foundation. Let's together collectively build upon it. And it's a message we're going to champion throughout the whole campaign.
Thanks very much, Nathan. And on that note, what would you say to people who might indeed hear you in this very podcast, or will be receiving one of your leaflets through the door more likely in the days and weeks to come? What would you say to people thinking about voting communist for the first time?
I'd say it's fantastic. And why stop there? Why just put the vote in the ballot box? That's what we see as communists. It's not just enough, you know. We have to be active. If you're thinking about voting communist, vote communist, and go even further. If you're listening to this episode, you've done another step. Have a look in the party or League website. It's another step. Read some of the materials and all that that we're publishing for free on our websites as well. Again, another step. Inquire, speak to communists that are out in the street. We've got a regular stall in Buchanan Street where we can answer your questions, dispel many of the myths and fabrications that the right-wing media place on the ideology of communism. Again, you're taking another step. If you think you're ready, if you think you've got what it takes to be an active member of the Communist Party, to learn, to continue to grow, submit an application, do your interview and join the party. And again, you've taken another step. And before you know it, you're marching alongside dedicated comrades, you're marching alongside your class, and you're marching towards a better future and a better life for you, your community, your loved ones, and for the workers of the world.
Thanks very much, Nathan. And I think that is an excellent and appropriate point for us to finish on. Goes without saying, you've certainly got me convinced. And frankly, I think if I was going to give anyone staying in the west of Scotland or even further afield, you know, an advert of what it is to be a communist, what it means to be a communist, why they should join the Communist Party and the YCL, directing them to this episode and hearing your interview, I think would be a very good start, comrades. So thank you again for your time. It goes without saying, very best of luck with the campaign. To everybody who's listening, I'd certainly encourage you to give Nathan as much support as possible and to donate to the campaign if possible. Send some messages, get the word out there, do whatever you can to support Nathan in that contest there in Western Bartonshire in the Central Ward, and make sure we get as big a communist vote as possible. Just yesterday, we've of course had the announcement of the snap general election on the 4th of July. So very best of luck also to all those party comrades across Britain who will be standing on the party ticket and fighting to put communist politics into the mainstream there. And for this episode, keeping it topical, keeping it related to Clydeside, we have a quote from the famous leader, one of the famous leaders, the UCS working, Jimmy Reid, and it goes, "Let's gear our society to social need, not personal greed. Given such a creative reorientation of society, there's no doubt in my mind that in a few years we could eradicate in our country the scourge of poverty, the underprivileged, slums and insecurity." So, comrades, thanks again for listening to this episode of Comicast. Keep your eyes peeled for the next episode coming out, and why not go back and listen to some of the episodes, the excellent episodes that we've got in the back catalogue already. But keep up the struggle, keep fighting, and if you've got any comments or questions, don't be afraid to get in touch with us at comicast@communistparty.org.uk. So until next time, comrades, take care and we'll see you in the streets.